Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you again for the fellowship hour. Thank you for everyone that's here. As we fellowship, Lord, around the word of God, let the light that's contained in that word come into our hearts and our minds. Give us revelation and understanding and encouragement on this morning. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right, so we thank God for the series we concluded. I want to give just a short exhortation today on to the law and the testimony. To the law and the testimony. That's the word of God, really. And the lesson today is going to surround things that we've talked about before, time and time again. You know, we need to align our lives and everything we hear with the word of God and everything we speak as well. Take heed how you hear and also take heed what you hear. Now, these are important instructions even in the now, you know, that how the Bible says that, you know, in the last days, you know, people are just going to have itching ears, you know, and just be looking to hear whatever. And of course, you know, anyone who wants to hear whatever will have plenty of opportunity to hear whatever. Yeah, but it's our responsibility to discern what we hear. Okay, so here is a lead off scripture for us. Mark chapter 4 and verse 23. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. Well, you know, when we were going through the Overcomers Rewards the last few days, we saw that Jesus spoke those words many times to the churches. You know, if any man have an ear to hear, he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Well, here Jesus says the same thing. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And then furthermore, he said, take heed what you hear. Mm-hmm. So that's very important. Take heed what you hear. Because, you know, sometimes, you know, what we hear, you know, can affect our minds. In fact, all the time, you know, what you hear affects your mind, affects your posture even sometimes. So we need to take heed what we hear. Well, along the same lines, also take heed what you speak. You know, don't just speak or say anything which the Lord hasn't said. So let's just look at a few reminders in the Word of God today to help us, and we'll see why this is important. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 8, we'll read just two verses there, or maybe I'll read two or three verses, but Isaiah chapter 8 is where we're going to read from this morning, and it has this, you might call it exhortation, you might call it instruction, you might even call it commandment. Bind up the testimony. Seal the law among my disciples, Isaiah 8 and 16. And I will wait upon the Lord, hide his face from the house of Jacob, and I will look for him. Well, you know, why did he say that? You know, well, let's see why he said those things. Behold, I and the children of the Lord are given me are for signs and wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts, which dwelleth in Mount Zion. And when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits and unto wizards that peep and that mutter, should not a people seek unto their God for the living to the dead? In other words, if anyone should speak unto you things that are not wholesome words, in this case, it was about, you know, going after familiar spirits or, you know, wizards up mop or whatever else, peep and mutter, but it could be anything. If anyone speak and if they're not according to wholesome words or according to the word of the Lord, he said, oh, how do you do it? You know, where is the litmus test, so to speak? Well, to the law and to the testimony. If they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. You know, so always we check it out with the word of God. And it doesn't matter who is speaking, myself included. You know, as I speak, the things that I speak in this room, you check them out, you know, with the word of God. We do not say, oh, about just because he's the pastor or he's a prophet or he's an apostle, you know, that anything they say goes. You'll be surprised how many people think like that. You know, they will just take everything hook, line, and sinker. But, you know, that's not the way it ought to be. You know, so we need to understand the word of God. We need to know the word of God. Now, if you don't know the word of God, and you don't know it accurately, it is, you leave yourself room for being deceived. Now, we see the example first in the beginning with Eve and the serpent. Now, Eve did not know the word of God accurately. You know, so it left room for the serpent to come in there and say, has God said? And try to put, doubt upon God's word and his integrity of his word. But, you know, it's more than anything else, because she didn't really know the accuracy of what God said. It's just, I mean, all the devil has to do is put it a little twist into it. He always quotes the scripture, some part of it. You know, if he knows you are a person of scripture or a person of the word, but he won't quote it quite accurately or completely. It won't be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. He even said to Jesus, well, he said, well, you know, why don't you cast yourself down from this mountain? For it is written, give his angels, you know, charge over you, and you will not dash your foot against a stone. Yeah, he quoted that part, but he conveniently left out the part that says, to keep you in all your ways. If the angel of the Lord is keeping you in all your ways, you wouldn't tempt the Lord. You know, but he conveniently left that part out. And the devil does all those kinds of things all the time. Quote one part of the scripture and just leave it like that in order to twist the word of God up a little bit. But we must know the word of God for ourselves. If you don't know the word, then how are you going to know if what people are speaking is according to the word of God? You know, so that's the lesson that we are going to talk about today. Now, in the book of Lamentation, chapter 3, verse 37, I've always referred to this one from time to time, right? That who is it that saith, and it comes to pass when the Lord has not commanded it? You know, so what that basically means, twofold aspect that we look at today. One, you know, which, you know, I've spoken about multiple times. when we make decrees or we make prayer and so forth, you know, it's got to be according to the word of the Lord. It's got to be according to the word of the Lord. You know, for our prayer, note, for your prayer to be able to come up before the Lord, that prayer must be wrapped in light. And that light is the word of God. You cannot, you know, you can't just say anything that God didn't say and think that it's going to come to pass. So that's one aspect of looking at it. The second aspect of looking at it is, you know, if anyone would say anything with a scourge of the tongue or bring an enchantment or divination against you, as the second part of looking at it, then, you know, since the Lord has not commanded it, because all that God commands for you is blessing and peace and rest and assurance and quietness, then it shall not also come to pass. So there's two ways that we're going to look at it. You know the story of the Balaam and Balak and the children of Israel, that Balak wanted Balaam to curse. You know, and in Numbers 23, we found out that he eventually himself would speak this thing out, Numbers 23 and 23, and say, look, there cannot be any enchantment or any divination that will prosper against the people of God. I mean, that story is very insightful, because this king was hiring the seer, the prophet, to curse the children of Israel. And he tried. He tried to find a way to do it. And the Lord said, you can't do it. And of course, you know, there was also the rewards of unrighteousness that were dangled in front of him. And the king, the enemy of Israel, kept saying, well, I'll give you more. You got to find a way to curse them. If you curse them, I know it'll come to pass, because your word always comes to pass. Well, your word may always come to pass, but if it's not according to the word of God, it will not come to pass. It's like the saying that I've said before, that you can, you know, try to come in agreement with anything, but if that agreement is contrary to the word of God, then it's null and void. And I've said it before, and I'll say it again, that there are many provisions in law around this great United States, articles and revised statutes, ARS, this and that. In our state here, they have many articles, legal and so forth. And when you take out a contract or sign a contract between two parties, there's always an underlining premise that it is void where prohibited by law. So in other words, I mean, you and the other party can come into agreement that you are going to do something and that you are bound by doing that thing. However, if that thing is contrary to the law of the land, then it is void anyway, your agreement notwithstanding. You know, so, you know, as we keep that in mind, we see that then it is important for us to know what does the word of God actually say. You know, because if you don't know what the word of God says, then how can you arm yourself with, look, someone saying something that's contrary to your well-being? How can you arm yourself with the knowledge that it's void anyway? You know, because you didn't know the word of God. In the book of Acts chapter 17, verse 11, we read about, you know, these people called, these people that, Bereans is what they call them. Bible said they were more noble than those that were in Thessalonica. in that they received the word of God with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. You know, so these people were trained in the habit of checking out everything that was preached to them to make sure that it was according to the scriptures. And that's a good practice for us to do. Even if you didn't know the scriptures, well, take time to go check it out and see whether what was preached is according to the scriptures. Now, if you know the scriptures, you know, that will be good because you can immediately call them to mind. Jesus also, you know, challenged the people actually. He said, search the scriptures. I was talking to the Jews in John chapter 5 and verse 39. And he said, look, search the scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me. So let's search the scriptures. That's the same thing as back to the law and to the testimony. Now, in the book of Psalm 119, every day, and I come on here, I quote this verse when I pray. I did already partially this morning. Psalm 119, verse 130. The entrance of God's word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. Now that light must accompany the prayer in order for it to work before the Lord. You know, that means since we know that the entrance of his word brings light, and also we know that according to 1 John chapter 1 verse 5. Now follow this argument now for a minute. According to 1 John chapter 1 verse 5, it says that the message we heard from the beginning is that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. Now, follow that argument for a minute. If we know that, okay. So God is light. In him is no darkness at all. Now, if we're going to present anything to God that is not light, you know, it's not going to stand because, you know, there's no darkness in him at all. Now, following that argument, we can then say that if your prayer is not wrapped in light, then it may do nothing. It might not even come before the Lord. How then do we wrap our prayer in light? Well, the entrance of God's word brings light. So you know that that word is what brings light. So you find the word of God, you wrap it around your prayer, and you speak that prayer by the word. And that guarantees that it's according to the light. In fact, God himself said, and God is also bound by this scripture we read in Isaiah chapter 8. It's not only for us to check things out. God himself is bound by it, you know. And in heaven, there are principles. And this principle works in heaven as well. If you are not speaking according to the law and the testimony, which is the word of God, then there is no light in the thing. And God has no pleasure in darkness. So, you know, even in the courts of heaven, so to speak, when you bring your case, if it is wrapped in light, you know, it's like the gates will open. The doors will open because the thing is wrapped in light. Just visualize it. If it is not wrapped in light, it will meet a closed gate or closed doors. And it's not going anywhere because it's not according to the word of God. Now, also in the same Psalm 119, and one time I think we did this Psalm 119 here in this room. We just went through all of it because that psalm is so rich and so powerful. It's all about the word of God. Every time he says the testimony, the law, his precepts and this and that, it, you know, it's all about the word of God. You know, so you know, it also talks about, you know, the commandments. I want to look at all the things that he talks about in that place. He talks about his commandments. He talks about his precepts. He talks about thy law. He talks about thy word. On all of these things, you know, they are all talking about the same thing. They even talk about his statutes. So many places throughout that long chapter of Psalm 119 talking about the same thing, you know. And then again, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. And is it settled in our hearts? That's in verse 89 of Psalm 119. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Well, what does that mean? You just think about it. There are many things that it can mean. Or from the context of what we're talking about today, his word is already settled. So when you bring your prayer and it is according to the word of God, then, you know, there is assurance. In fact, in 1 John, you know, chapter 5, we are told in verses 14 and 15, you know, that when we pray or bring your petitions, which sometimes is called, you know, asking. So when we pray and bring our petitions, well, if it is according to his will, and his will is revealed in his word. So here's how it says it in 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, you can also say according to his word. That's the same thing. He heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, then we know that whatsoever we ask of him, we know that we shall receive those petitions that we desire of him. Now, you can see how this bases it on the word. Here it calls it his will, but his will is revealed in his word. You know, so if we ask according to his word, then we know he's hearing. The gates of heaven are open because that word is the light that is accompanying that prayer, and it'll make room for it before the king and before, you know, the courts of heaven, you know. So, and other things also follow. Now, the elements of darkness, which are like what the Bible calls the little foxes that spoil the vine, those elements of unbelief, those elements of disobedience, those elements of bitterness, backbiting, and unforgiveness, and all these things, you know, those elements, the pockets of darkness, even though we are trying to walk in the light, trying to bring our prayer in the light, these pockets of darkness, you know, they can spoil, they can bring a smell to the incense. Now, that prayer would have brought, you know, a sweet incense before the Lord if it's completely wrapped in light. But if there are pockets of darkness, then, you know, brings a stench to the apothecary. You know, so this thing is important for us to understand it. That's the reason why some prayers are not answered. Because there may be pockets of darkness. So we always go back to the word and to the testimony. We check things out by the word of God. Make sure that they are according to the word. And we ourselves must be people of the word. You know, as a matter of fact, you know, the, you know how it says that, you know, the Lord is seeking for himself, a people, call out a people, the ecclesia, it's the called out people. Well, the bride of Christ is the, it's a word bride, you know, because they will be part of him. They take his word, not the word of the devil. Well, you know, in the beginning, Eve committed adultery by taking the word of the serpent over the word of the Lord. At the end of the age, a lot of people will also take the word, you know, of the devil in many ways. It's either coming in a fixed up, and I say fixed up in a way, fixed up Bible, which is all fixed up and messed up, and a presenter like that. It will come in the message of the Antichrist finally. Many people will take that. It's already happening now. But the bride of Christ will only take the word. We're only going to take the word. And if you're preaching or what you say is not in alignment with the word of God, we're not going to take it. And that's not only for preaching. That's even for something that somebody may say to you. It's kind of like in Matthew chapter 16, when Jesus just finished, acknowledging Peter for receiving tremendous revelation from the Father concerning who he was. And then, you know, began to tell them that, look, the Son of Man is going to Jerusalem and he'll be betrayed of the chief priests and all these people, and he'll be killed and so forth. You know, and the third day he rise again. And Peter began to take him and rebuke him. I mean, to say that's not going to happen. You're not going to do that. You know, so the Lord had to understand by discernment that there was a devil inside of Peter at that moment. And the Lord rebuked it, because what was coming out of the mouth of Peter was not according to the law and was not according to the testimony, which the scripture had testified of Christ aforetime that he would do exactly that. You know, but Peter opened his mouth in a moment. There was a pocket of darkness right there. And the Lord had to rebuke it. You know, so it could be coming from your preacher, your pastor, your prophet, your apostle. It could be coming from a close friend, a close relative, a brother, a sister. It could be coming from, you know, somebody around you. But no matter where it's coming from, to the law and to the testimony. If it's not according to the word, if it's not according to this word, then it means there is no light in them. So reject it right away. And Jesus rejected it. Now, if you ever hear, you know, negative pronunciation against you, it's the same thing. You know, it is not according to wholeness and the words of promise. Jeremiah 29:11. My thoughts towards you are for peace, for good, and not for evil. Give you an expected end, the end which the Lord has already seen. Now, if someone says anything to you that's contrary to that, reject it right away. You know, don't even give it any light of day. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 27 says, neither give place to the devil. Don't even give him an inch. Some people say you give him an inch, you'll take him out. Well, don't give him an inch then. Don't even give him anything. You know, so I want us to memorize this verse because, you know, this is the main verse of the lesson for today. You know, to the law and the testimony. Isaiah 8:20. If they speak not according to this word. So the law and the testimony is called the word. You know, it is because there is no light in them. And you don't want to be a part of anything that's not light. So let's take that as our memory verse today. Isaiah 8:20. To the law and to the testimony. If they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. I'll give you a short testimony around that verse. I might have been 20 or 21 or thereabouts. I don't know, but it was many years ago that the Lord first gave me this scripture. And it helped me, to keep myself from the evil. Because back then in my generation, then people were doing a lot of things that were not according to the word. And they were saying a lot of things that were not according to the word, just because they thought, you know, they had the spirit of prophecy upon them. As a matter of fact, you know, we read a prophecy that said at the end of the age, God will have, you know, a prophet and the most prophetical generation. So everybody said, well, we're going to be a prophetical generation. And they begin to devise to themselves many strange things. As a matter of fact, you know, we also heard that the Lord said, I will do a strange thing and a strange work. And because of that, people began to devise to themselves many strange things. I was a young man then, very young. And all these people also, we were all young then, but people are devising all kinds of things. You know, but this word kept me because I kept saying, well, if they say anything and it's not according to the word, it's because there's no light in them. And I don't even mess with it. Just move on. You know, furthermore, the Holy Spirit said to me one morning, he said, because these people have heard that, and I'm quoting it verbatim now, I think, because these people have heard that I am doing a strange work, therefore they begin to devise to themselves strange things. And he said, be not a partaker with them, for many shall lose their birthright. I'm like, lose their birthright? You know, and I searched it out, and over the years, many actually did lose their birthright. Some of them followed the golden calf. Some followed many things, many strange things that were not of God. But, you know, God kept me because of this simple scripture, this Isaiah 8:20. Always to the law and to the testimony. Check it out. Doesn't matter what gifts they operate. Now, back then, people were operating a lot of gifts and things like that, but they were not speaking according to the word. So, you know, gift or no gift, you know, it's the same thing to today. You know, many people have touted themselves as great men and women of God, you know, they're prophetic in appearance. They can, you know, speak or prophesy. Or they can divine, you know, they may even have divination spirits. We don't know what they have, but, you know, and they can speak certain things which appear that they may be true, but check out the word. Does everything align with the word, you know, because the Bible even says, look, even if a prophet tells you something and the thing comes to pass, but yet it tells you another thing. And it's not according to the word of God, such as, you know, let's follow after other gods, or let's follow this golden calf, or let's do this other crazy thing. That's not according to the word of God. Then scripture says, well, then, you know, better stay away from him because the Lord is testing you. And what does that mean? I mean, isn't it enough, you know, that, I mean, is it not enough that when a prophet speaks, and the word comes to pass, isn't that enough to know that they are a prophet? I mean, isn't that enough? Isn't that what the Bible says? But the spirit of discernment, according to the word of God, will come in. But it's not everybody that will understand what needs to be done. You know, somebody may speak something and it may come to pass. And that may be okay. But then watch which direction they go. If they tell you to follow after other gods or do these other things that are contrary to the scriptures, are you going to follow just because they spoke something that came to pass? You know, so maybe the Lord is testing you. You know, if the prophet, one by one, if the prophet says something that doesn't come to pass, then you don't even need to worry about him because, you know, I mean, if it is, you know, if it is the word of God, it will come to pass. If it is not the word of God, then it won't come to pass. You know, but if the prophet says something and it comes to pass. You know, that's the one, and he has established himself as a prophet. Then that's the one that may be tricky, right? Because he has already established himself as a prophet. But what if it comes to pass truly? And then after that, it tells you something else. You know, what should you do? Well, let's see what the scripture says about that. You know, there are many things that there are many scriptures where we are giving instructions about this. Let's read something from Deuteronomy chapter 18. In Deuteronomy chapter 18, we read, you know, from about verse 22. And of course, Moses was preparing them and trying to tell them these things, right? So, you know, when a prophet, in fact, let me read it earlier. The prophet from verse 20 that shall presume to speak a word in the name of the Lord that I have not commanded him, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. That's how severe it was. And then he said, well, if you say in your heart then, you know, how shall I know that the Lord has not spoken the word? So he's going to give you something. This is one simple test. But there is something even beyond this that I will talk about. The first test is when a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the thing does not follow, not come to pass, then that is the thing which the Lord has not spoken. Because the Lord doesn't do guesswork. You know, but that prophet has spoken it presumptuously. No, they shall not even be afraid of him. Get away from him. You know, now the Lord does not make predictions either. You know, the Lord tells it as it is. A prediction may come to pass or may not come to pass. The Lord doesn't speak predictions. He will tell you what it is because he already knows the end from the beginning. And he will tell it to you exactly as it is. You know, so now, but what if, you know, what if he says it, you know, and it comes to pass, but then he tells you, you know, that you should go after other gods, you know, then what should you do? Well, today he's not going to tell you to go after other gods because he knows you are not going to do that. You know, but it's a, it might be just a slight, you know, deviation from the word of God. Now, it's not, like I often said, it's not going to be, hey, here is a bottle of poison, take it. That's not going to happen. Because the devil is smart. He knows that he's not going, that's not going to happen. You know, so it's going to wrap it up like a little leaven inside, you know, some measures of meal. So let's see Deuteronomy chapter 13. And see, first of all, we've seen, you know, if the word didn't come to pass, the prophet said in the first place, then you shouldn't even worry about him. That's, the Lord never said that. You know, so, but what if he said it and it comes to pass? You know, is it everything that somebody says that comes to pass that qualifies them as an oracle of God, and everything they say after that is the word of God? Well, let's read it. Deuteronomy chapter 13, verse 1. If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams and gives you a sign and a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass. Now, remember, the other one, if it didn't come to pass, you know, just know that it's not even from the Lord. But in this case, it actually does come to pass. I mean, they're able to divine. You know, they got a spirit of divination. They can say something and maybe it's accurate what they say, or it appears to be accurate. And then, but then they tell you some other crazy thing, which is not according to the word of God. In this case, it was very blatant. Let us go after other gods, you know, which thou hast not known to serve them. But it may not be as blatant as that. It may just be a little leaven that they will put in there and start to bring in some contrary things that's according to, not according to the word of God. But if you don't know the word, then you won't know. And then he said, well, what should you do in that case? Well, thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet. or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God is proving you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. And you will always walk after the Lord your God. Fear him and keep his commandments. Obey his voice, serve him and cleave unto him. You know, and that prophet or dreamer of dreams that tries to use his divination to get you away from the Lord, to turn your heart away from the Lord and so forth, then he shall die the death. So this is how, he said, trust him out of the way. Don't even, you know, mess with him at all. So these are, and then it doesn't matter. And Moses went on to give him another very severe warning here. Whether it's your brother, the son of your mother, your son, your wife, your bosom friend, or anybody that, you know, tries to entice you against the word of God, you know, get away from him. That's right. Get away from him. And so forth. And let your eye not pity him. In some cases, they even say, look, thrust them through. They shall surely die. That's how serious it was. Well, we're not killing anybody these days, but you better get away from that spirit. You know, and, you know, spiritually speaking, we should even put that spirit to death. You know, if you, once you tolerate it, it will spread. You see, that's what gives people ammunition. What gives the false diviners ammunition is, you know, the people that don't know the word of God for themselves. You know, that's, you know, what gives them ammunition. Because when the Lord said, be unto me a kingdom of priests, and the people said, we can't hear the voice of God, you know, then Moses became a prophet. Thank God that Moses was a good prophet. You know, but, you know, there will arise times, and we have many of them today, you know, because the people have, you know, itching ears, and they heap to themselves, you know, teachers, prophets, and so forth. You know, tell them anything they want to hear. And so, you know, they've got a peeping spirit and a muttering spirit. You got to be discerning. How do you know then that it is the voice of the Lord? Or is the word of God? Is the spirit behind it is the word of God? You know, sometimes somebody may be saying something, but how do you know then that it's, you know, the word of God? Well, there's also, you know, along with this message also goes discernment, you know, discernment. So there is a story in Acts chapter 16 of this girl that had the spirit of divination. I was following Paul and Silas around for a while. And they're saying that these are the men that bring us the way of salvation. Well, was what she was saying correct or not? I mean, were those men bringing the way of salvation or not? Of course they were. Now, so then what's the problem? You know, so, I mean, these are the men that bring us the way of salvation and so forth. You know, and she kept saying it and following them, you know, all over the place. And finally, one day, look, this Paul said, look, enough of this thing already. You know, he was grieved in his spirit. He discerned something that despite what she was saying, there was a spirit in her that was not right. Now, if she gained, she could have gained recognition and gained an advantage by associating herself with Paul and Silas. Well, these men are the servants of the Most High, which show us the way of salvation. That's what she said. Nothing wrong with that. You know, and she did that for many days. But after a while, you can read that story in Acts chapter 16 from verse 17 or so. After a while, Paul was gripped in the spirit. And then he said to that spirit, I command thee, in the name of Jesus Christ, come out of her. And that spirit came out of her. But, I mean, what's wrong with what the girl was saying? The girl was always saying what appeared to be right, but there was something that was not according to the light. You know, there was a darkness, you know, around that girl that Paul was able to discern in the spirit. And when he discerned it, he cast that thing, commanded that thing, come out of her. You know, so, and there are other stories in the Bible of where, you know, even, you know, the scripture says, look, at the mouth of, you know, two or three prophets, I mean, witnesses, let the word be fulfilled. And we see that that's really all you need. Well, what if then many people gather together and say the same thing? Because the Bible says that you only need two or three. And Jesus himself said the same thing. You know, he said, does not your law say that, you know, at the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be confirmed? He said, well, he said, my Father testify of me, and I testify of myself, that makes us two. And my testimony is true, you know, and so on. So, you know, Jesus was quoting the same thing. But what happens if there are two or three people say the same thing, but yet it's not according to the word of God? How do you then know that it's not according to the word of God? Because, you know, you already have two or three witnesses, and let every word be confirmed, you know. Now, there are many stories in the Bible. I don't know how many of it I will, you know, get a chance to tell. But there's one in 1 Kings chapter 22. You know, there was all this war between Syria and Israel and so on and so forth. And so one day Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, went and visited, you know, Ahab, the king of Israel, you know, and so forth. And, you know, Ahab said to her, you know, will you go and battle with me against these Syrians and so forth? And Jehoshua said, well, yeah, I mean, you are my people and so on, but let's check it out. You know, let's see what the Lord is saying. You know, so, you know, let's hear from the Lord. Well, so the king of Israel gathered the prophets together. There were 400 of them. 400. They were more than two or three. I mean, all they needed were two or three, confirm the word. But there was 400 of them. And he said, shall I go up to Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? And they said, well, go up, because the Lord will deliver into the hand of the king. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, men and brethren, 400 prophets were there saying the same thing. Hello? 400 prophets. And yet this Jehoshaphat was questioning it. There must have been something, you know. I don't know what it is. I know, but, you know, it's not apparent what it is here that's making this Jehoshaphat question 400, because all you needed was two or three people to say it. At the mouth of two or three witnesses, let the word be confirmed. And then you have 400 people confirming the word. And yet this Jehoshaphat said, well, you know, okay. But isn't there someone else that we can check this thing out? After 400 people, I guarantee you there was something inside that Jehoshaphat that didn't sit right with all those prophets. And so the king of Israel said, well, yeah, I mean, there's one man called Micaiah. You know, this man, you know, I don't like to ask him anything. I hate him, and he hates me too. He never says anything good about me. And so Jehoshaphat said, oh, come on now, king, don't say that. Yeah, let's hear from him. Why would you need to hear from somebody after 400 people already confirmed it? There was something inside this Jehoshaphat. You know, so when they called this Micaiah, you might know the rest of the story. You know, when they called this Micaiah, they said to him, look, you know, all of these prophets have said, they have all said the same thing. So you make sure, the people that went to get him, say, you make sure that, look, as they have spoken, so let your word be like the word of one of them, which is good. Say that which is good to the king. Micaiah said, well, you know, as the Lord thy God liveth, as the Lord liveth, whatever the Lord says to me, that I will speak, good or evil. I'm not going to say what everybody is saying just because everybody is saying it. That's a good lesson for all of us. You know, are you going to do what everybody is doing just because they are doing it? Are you going to say what everybody is saying just because they are saying it? Or are you going to the law and the testimony to see whether it's according to the light? You know, so, you know, then they came in and he asked him, or shall we go or shall we forbear? And the man put his tongue in the cheek, so to speak, and said, of course, go up and prosper. Now, the way he said it, you know, Ahab already knew. He said, look, how many times shall I adjure you that you tell me nothing but that which is true in the name of the Lord? And so Micaiah said, you want the truth? You can't handle the truth. You want the truth? You know, he said, look, I saw all of Israel scattered like sheep without a shepherd. Uh-huh. You know, and then I said, well, did I tell you? No, that he won't say anything. Joshua said, well, calm down now, calm down. Let's hear the rest of it. So this man went on and said, look, I saw the Lord sitting on his throne and all the hosts of heaven standing behind him on his right, his left, and everything. And the Lord said, who shall go down there and persuade Ahab that he may go and fall at Ramoth Gilead? Wow. One came after this manner, another said after that manner. Finally, a spirit came forth. We don't know where the spirit came from. You know, it was a spirit that came forth. It wasn't exactly an angel, but it was a spirit. And he said, I will go and persuade him. And the Lord said, how? He said, well, I will go and be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And the Lord said, okay, go and do it and prevail also. You know, so some of these lying spirits, you know, sometimes that's what they do. And so the Lord, so Micaiah was showing them and said, look, the Lord has put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these your prophets and you don't even know it. In any case, the rest of the story, you know that there was this man called Zedekiah that came and smote the man at the mouth and say, you know, who are you to talk? I'm the big prophet here. You know, where did the spirit of the Lord go from me to you and so on and so forth? Of course, Micaiah was correct and the rest of them were wrong. That's one person versus 400. Ladies and gentlemen, one person versus 400. So, what we know is that the truth of Word of God is what must stand. Hallelujah. So you've got to stand with the Word of God and never worry about all these other people, whatever they are saying or not saying, if it is not according to the Word of God. So our lesson today is to tell us, there's yet another story, but I'll leave that alone. It's a similar story, you know, where you know, one prophet come out and say, you know, oh, you know, there will be peace. Whereas, you know, the Lord already said there will be no peace, you know. And so the prophet said, well, if the word of the Lord, I mean, if the prophets, the prophet has spoke peace when the Lord has said there is no peace, if the word is what come to pass, then it shall be known. You know, so, but the thing was, he knew, the right prophet knew what the word of God before that already said. And so that did not make a difference what anybody else said. Our lesson today is for us to know the word, no matter how many people speak contrary to it. And whether it is something to do or something to not do, whether it is a word for guidance or not, you should know the word of God on your own. You know, otherwise people might lead you astray or even try to make merchandise of you. Now, on the other hand though, when we do know the word of God, we can use it to our advantage. When you go before the Lord, you wrap your prayer in the word of God. That reminds God of his word. And because his word is his bond and his name is his reputation, he is bound by his word. Now, of the things that we have said, this is the summary today. To the law and to the testimony, let the word of God be always that guiding light for you. If they don't speak according to the word, and you know, Paul even said one time, look, if someone else comes up and preaches anything that's not according to the word that we have already preached, let him even be accursed, whether he's a man or angel, doesn't matter. So always go back to the word. And that means that we must know the word ourselves. So that's today's lesson. It's about us knowing the word of God and understanding it and using it unconditionally and standing on it regardless of who else speaks contrary or otherwise. Stay with the word and don't change your posture just because someone else said something else. You know, a quick lesson also in 1 Kings 13, a young prophet was told what not to do, and an older prophet came and deceived him, but it was a deceit. And the younger prophet should have stayed with the word of God, but he let his guard down because there was an old prophet who was a more renowned prophet that told him something contrary to the word of God. And it didn't end very well with him. So we must stay with the word. And don't go to the left and don't go to the right. Always go back to the word. So once again, I'll read to you our memory verse for today. And we're going to close the lesson here. And that memory verse is Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 20. To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it's because there is no light in there. And don't mess with it when there is no light in it. May the Lord give us also the spirit of discernment. I'll speak more about discernment in a subsequent lesson. There's more to it than meets the eye. But Father, I thank you over for everyone that's listened in this room to the word of God. Listen to the word of God today. Instructions on how we must always go and check it out according to the word. See if it aligns. And if it doesn't align, even if the signs and wonders come to pass, we must detach ourselves from it. I pray for wisdom. I pray for understanding for everyone that's in the room today. Lord, I give you the praise and I give you the glory. Thank you for your word that is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. And this light will always guide us even into the presence of God. We give you, Lord, the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.